You have your New Testament tonight. We'll read, please, in that wonderful chapter, Luke chapter 24, one of the infallible proofs of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we shall look at the intimate conversation which our Lord Jesus Christ held with his own, the first preachers of the gospel, we believe, in an upper room in Jerusalem. Verse 44 of this delightful chapter. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. That is, prior to his death, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer. It was necessary for him to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins, or the word remission here is simply better understood by us today as the forgiveness of sins, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, or beginning from Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. I have no doubt in my mind that what we have been privileged to hear tonight will be the groundwork for what I'm going to say. I'm going to speak a word for a few minutes upon a subject which is fundamental to the preaching of the gospel, a subject that is of first-line importance, and it's to be proclaimed until the Lord shall come again, and we know not when that may be. The one who rose triumphant from that garden tomb and left the slopes of the Mount of Olives for the Father's throne, ere he went away, he said, I will come again. And behind us on these beautiful banners, we are reminded of the imminence, the nearness of the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the subject that I'm going to occupy your attention with is the subject which was upon the heart of the Lord Jesus when he rose from the dead triumphant. In that upper room in Jerusalem, he gave a great commission to those apostles to be carried on down the centuries of time until at last the trumpet of his coming would be heard. The day of grace would quickly terminate and salvation would be proclaimed no more in the ears of men. It behoved Christ to suffer, he said, as he stretched out his hand that still bore the imprint of Calvary, and to rise again the third day. And we have heard of the implications of the resurrection. He's arisen Christ, and he's in the glory. But in that upper room, ere he went and ascended to the Father, he said it behoved Christ to suffer, and that he should be the first that would rise from the dead, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name in all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses of these things. So tonight we are here in the steps of the apostles and in the footsteps of every faithful preacher that has gone before over these 2,000 years since the Lord went away. And we may be the last generation of servants of Christ who will preach the forgiveness of sins in His name. For the subject that is heavy upon my heart is that subject that was upon His, that they would go out into all the world, and that they would begin in the guiltiest city, and from there they would spread their way across the earth, preaching repentance toward God and the forgiveness of sins. And tonight the forgiveness of sins can be proclaimed in your ears. Now I'm going to say a few things about this first line and most important subject of the forgiveness of sins, in the hope that those who are here who have not yet received the forgiveness of sins, many repeat in the well-known creed, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. But there are only a few that can really look into the face of God and say, I have the forgiveness of all my sins. Oh, wouldn't it be a grand night this Monday night if you were to leave this auditorium able to say, my sins, which were many, are all forgiven, and there's not one stain remains, and I'm ready to go to the glory should the Lord come or death should take me away. Now, the first point that I'm going to mention is a very evident one, and that is the need of the forgiveness of sins. The Savior would never have sent us to preach the forgiveness of sins if the world didn't need it. And I know the need of nations and the need of the world tonight and the need of this city. Tremendous needs confront our eyes. The need socially and the need politically and economically. Men are interested in the temporal needs of their fellows today. But the greatest need, the vital need, the most important and pressing and urgent need in every land and in every clime is for man to obtain the greatest of all blessings that can be known in this life. Nothing to equal it. The forgiveness of sins. It's an urgent need. And the need is evident because all of us are sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know we haven't all sinned to the same degree. All men have not sinned to the same extent. There are various degrees and depths of sin into which men sink. But one sin constitutes a man a sinner. I think one of the most solemn verses in the whole Bible is James 2:10. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. The law of God is not like the law of Canada. A man speeding down a highway, he is brought into the side by an officer and he receives a ticket. He has broken the law. He has infringed a traffic regulation. But he has not broken all the law of this wonderful dominion of Canada. He has broken one item of the law, but the law of God is vastly different to the law of man and state. The law of God is like a chain, and one link broken, the chain collapses. Friend of mine, listen to this solemn word, James 2:10, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And that chapter shows me that the one point is what we might call a very minor infringement. It's a man coming into a synagogue, and he's arrayed in a gay garment, and he has a gold ring upon his hand, the evidence of riches, and he is given a seat in a good place. It's respect of persons. And to have respect of persons is the one sin that causes a man to be guilty of all. So one sin will keep a sinner out of heaven. One sin committed is sufficient to close heaven's gate against a sinner. How many sins have you committed? Do you know what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:15? God requireth that which is past. The past of your life is like an open book. The Bible says God shall judge the secrets of men's hearts according to my gospel. Romans chapter 1. And again, the Bible states very clearly, there is nothing hidden that shall not be uncovered. The secret things spoken in the closet shall be noised abroad upon the rooftop. And God knows our lives. The psalmist said he knoweth my down sitting and my uprising and my thoughts afar off. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. One of the most solemn verses that I know is Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We are all sinners, not to the same degree, but all of us have sinned in some degree. And we all need the forgiveness of our sins. No one, any sins can ever enter heaven. One sin has barred the door. Tonight in this company, I want you to think of the words of Revelation chapter 21 concerning that eternal city. God says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. If you're a sinner, you're defiled. It matters not whether your parents were believers or unbelievers. It matters not where you come from or who you are. Isaiah 64 tells us, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. And the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. All are guilty. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The need of the forgiveness of sins. If ever you're going to be in heaven, and if ever I could enter heaven, I must have my sins, past, present, and future, removed from before the face of God. And the Savior said, preach the forgiveness of sins. Number one, all men need it. The need of the forgiveness of sins. But now I come to the next thing that is upon my heart, and that is the offer of the forgiveness of sins. Thank God there is an offer made here tonight, a genuine offer. I like the words of Paul in Acts 13, when he preached the resurrection of the Savior. He said, whom they slew and hanged upon a tree. And when all things that were written of him were fulfilled, they took him down from the tree, and they laid him in the sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead the third day. Be it known unto you therefore, men, brethren, that through this man, a man that was raised from the dead, is preached the forgiveness of sins. The apostle preached and made offers of the forgiveness of sins. And tonight we are here to make a genuine offer of the forgiveness of sins. Though your sins are many, they can be all forgiven in this gospel meeting tonight without confessing them into the ears of a man. What a wonderful message. It's a genuine offer of the forgiveness of sins. And another thing about this offer, it's a timely offer. The Savior in Mark chapter 2 said concerning a man that was to be forgiven these blessed words, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins. If you go to hell, there'll be no power to forgive you in hell. Once a person crosses the boundary line, there's no power that can reach them in that awful place of torment. The blood of Christ can never atone for human guilt. When a man goes to the pit, it's too late. If you're ever going to have the forgiveness of sins, you've got to have it in time, in this life, while you're breathing and moving and having your being. And it's offered tonight in this gospel meeting, the offer of forgiveness. We're preaching tonight, according to Luke 24. We're preaching the forgiveness of sins in His name. All the authority of that name is behind us this evening. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, there is forgiveness. Now, the next thing I will say about the forgiveness of sins is this. The extent to which God will go in the matter of forgiveness. Someone will say to me tonight, I have sinned for years. And my most grievous sin, and I'm going to say it is the most grievous sin that a person can commit in a body of flesh and blood, is the repeated rejection of the offer of forgiveness. It's worse than drunkenness. It's worse than rape. It's worse than a violent murder committed in the open street. For you to attend meetings of this nature all your life and hear that there is the forgiveness of sins and it is offered to you, a guilty sinner, freely in time that you might be saved. And yet every night you rise and you spurn the offer of forgiveness and you go on your way without Christ. It's the most grievous sin that a person can commit in a body of flesh and blood. The rejection of the offer of forgiveness. But although you have rejected the offer of forgiveness now, it may be for many years, and there may be someone here, and your sins are black and dark. I care not tonight that you have committed the vilest sins. And tonight there is many as the sands upon the seashore for number, and as dark as the clouds that roll above in the dark sky, and as many as the twinkling stars above tonight. You can leave this auditorium with the forgiveness of all your sins for time and for all eternity. How far will God go in the matter of the forgiveness of sins? The Savior said in Mark chapter 3, all manner of sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of man, and blasphemies with which they may blaspheme. That man yonder in the tavern tonight, in his mouth full of cursing and bitterness. That sinner tonight that curses the name that is above every name, the blessed name of the Savior tonight. Why is he not smitten down in his sins? Because we're living in the day of grace. The Savior said, I want the forgiveness of sins to be preached in my name. Notice where he sent them first. Begin at Jerusalem. Go to that man that nailed me to the tree and tell him, I will forgive him. Why, when he was lifted up, the first thing he said was this, Father, forgive them. He was there to purchase eternal forgiveness. Go to that man that invented the crown of thorns and pierced my lovely brow. Go to that man that smote me with a reed and those men that covered my faces in spittle and tell them that I freely will forgive them forever. What a marvelous gospel tonight that we can go to any sinner anywhere, black or white, yellow or red, rich or poor, and without anything done by that sinner, we can offer him on the principle of faith and on the grounds of sovereign, wondrous grace. We can make a genuine and a wonderful offer in the preaching of the gospel. The forgiveness of sins, all manner of sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and all blasphemies with which they may blaspheme. Think of men blaspheming the name of God tonight. God can forgive them. The apostle said in 1 Timothy 1, I was before a blasphemer. And there are likely believers in this meeting that once blasphemed the blessed name of Him who bears in heaven the highest place. Some of us, our eyes are filled with tears as we think that once we used His name in vain. I'm saved a long time. And when I hear the saints sing that old hymn, O head once filled with bruises, Paul Gearhart, O head once filled with bruises, oppressed with shame and scorn, overwhelmed with sore abuses, mocked with a crown of thorns. O Lord, what thee tormenteth? 'Twas my sins, heavy load. I had the debt augmented, which thou didst pay in blood. It causes the tear to fill my eye when I think of it, that there was a day that I saw no beauty in his name, of him who was altogether lovely. And maybe some of you here, you blasphemed him, and your mouth is vile and filthy, for out of the mouth of man proceedeth all kinds of evil thoughts and envies and adulteries and sin and wickedness. The fountain of our nature is impure tonight. But I can tell you, though your sins are black as the darkest night, you can leave this meeting cleansed and forgiven. And not a sin as I can trace or ought to mar the work of grace. You say, how can that be? Ephesians 1 and verse 7 gives me the grounds of forgiveness. Listen to it. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. God in rich grace sent his own beloved Son into the world to die for sinners. We heard the gospel tonight quoted to us in the 1st of Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins. And the reason that God can forgive me and forgive you and forgive any man in the world tonight is this. He laid our sins to the account of the only sinless one that was ever here. There was only one man that ever trod earth and left it as he entered it without a spot. There was only one heart that was never defiled. One mind that was ever pure. One hand that was ever holy. One man that was as pure the day died as the day was born. Who was he? The immaculate, wonderful, glorious person that we delight to honor and delight to speak about. The person of our Lord Jesus Christ. But when he was nailed on that accursed tree, midst rending rocks and darkening sky at noon, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:18, Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Whose sins? He had none of his own to bear. Listen to the old verse tonight, and I think of Dr. Mackey of Hull, long ago, when a man at the door said to the dear doctor, how can I be saved? And Dr. Mackey handed him his Bible. He said, here's my Bible, bring it tomorrow night. I'm in a hurry for the train. But he said, read Isaiah 53 and verse 6, and go in at the first all, and go out at the last all. The man said, what a peculiar way to be saved, to go in at the first all and out at the last all. And when he went home, he read Isaiah 53 and 6. Will you read it in your own Bible tonight? All we like sheep have gone astray. Will you go in at the first call and say, that's me? I have gone astray. I'm a sinner. And we have turned everyone to his own way. Isn't that true of you and true of the speaker too? We sought our own way in a rebellious world. We went our own way. But the Bible says, the Lord hath laid upon him, upon the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. All our iniquities by God on him were laid. And the grounds of forgiveness is this. The blood of Christ was shed. And God gazes at that blood. And on the grounds of that precious, precious blood, he's willing to save and able to forgive. I think of the glorious words of Ephesians chapter 4, written to believers. Be ye tender-hearted, forgiving one another. But he adds this lovely word, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God, because of Christ, can forgive a sinner tonight. I like the words of 1 John chapter 2. I write unto you, little children, for your sins are forgiven you. For his name's sake, God thinks so highly of Calvary, and he thinks so dearly of his Son that every sinner that trusts Christ receives immediately the forgiveness of sin. How can I have this forgiveness, you say? Acts 10 will answer your problem right away. Peter preaching in the house of Cornelius, he tells of the death and resurrection of the Savior, the basis of all apostolic preaching. And then he uses this lovely word, to him bear all the prophets witness, that whosoever believeth in him, nothing to pay tonight. It's as free as the air you breathe. And God holds the breath that you breathe in his hand. He offers you tonight in this meeting the forgiveness of all your sins. Right in the seat where you sit. Listen to it. Acts 10:43. To him bear all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive as a free gift the forgiveness of sin. I hope you will receive it tonight and leave this meeting another way. Shall we pray? Our blessed God, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus. He came into the world to save sinners. He stooped from the ivory palaces into a world of woe. Only his great eternal love could make my Savior go. And he went all the way through life, and finally on the cross, he became the sin-bearer. The great basic facts of the gospel have been preached here tonight. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ as a substitute in the place of sinners. And that wonderful resurrection when he left the garden tomb and was seen of many, even by 513 known witnesses. And then finally, he ascended beyond the cloud. And we look up and we see a man in the glory. And we read those lovely words, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. He could say, I am sat down upon my Father's throne. And tonight the one who was nailed on the tree sits upon the throne in heaven at the right hand of the majesty above. And to that one we bear witness tonight and point sinners that through him this man is preached the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified, cleared from every charge of guilt, justified from all things from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord tonight. We pray that someone might know the saving, cleansing power of that precious blood that can wash away the vilest stain and may leave this meeting cleansed and clean every whit. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.